You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
ME/CFS and long COVID are both chronic diseases that can cause fatigue and memory loss. Researchers have referred to patients as the missing millions due to their inability to sustain employment from the illness and are often neglected by health services. I spoke to Emeritus Professor of Biochemistry at the University of Otago, Warren Tate, about his research in this area. His study has shown that ME/CFS and long COVID are closely related, meaning that further research and treatments can be for the benefit of both groups. What is ME/CFS?
Okay, so give you a little bit of background. ME/CFS stands for myalgic encephalomyelitis, that's a long name, / chronic fatigue syndrome, a little bit more easier to understand. And these two names came from as a result of outbreaks in two parts of the world. The ME name came from an outbreak at the Royal Free Hospital in London in 1955, and the chronic fatigue syndrome, the CFS part, arose as a result of a viral outbreak in Incline Village, Nevada in 1984. And it really wasn't until about 2016-2017 that those two names came together to represent post-viral illnesses. So it's really an umbrella name for all of what we now know are post-stressor illnesses that come about after the person's immune system is highly stressed by some event, mainly viral, in their lives. By contrast, long COVID, of course, is the result of a specific virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And so you could regard it as a specific example of ME/CFS, and that's what I always think of it as. But the uniqueness about that is we've never had such a pandemic of so many viral infections. 800 million was mostly these other, there's been about 100 boutique outbreaks of what we now give rise to ME/CFS over the last 100 years. And they've been a few thousand cases. And so they throw up at most a few hundred cases of the post-viral syndrome. But of course, with COVID and long COVID, we've had 800 million cases of the infection, the viral infection, and that's given rise, it's thought to about worldwide, about 100 million cases of long COVID. So huge numbers of people worldwide with this severely debilitating, ongoing post-viral fatigue syndrome have resulted.
What does your research say about the links between ME/CFS and long COVID? Like, what are the physiological commonalities between them?
So what of interest to me particularly was that I've studied ME/CFS intensely for the last 10 years, having come from an ME/CFS family. My daughter first got the illness over 35 years ago. And what's happened with ME/CFS research is that there's been very little investment. In other words, never hit the headlines like long COVID has. And so researchers have struggled through around the world to try and understand the pathophysiology. And so in my own research, we've contributed a lot to that in the last 10 years. However, now with long COVID, there's a huge amount of investment going in the rich countries like the United States to understanding long COVID. And so what was important to know was that was long COVID really very closely related to the umbrella illnesses under the term ME/CFS, because it meant that what we'd learned about ME/CFS could be translated to long COVID patients, but equally important, what's going to be found, hopefully, with all of this money that's invested in the research on long COVID, could actually be applied back to ME/CFS patients who've had their illness for 10, 20, 30, sometimes 40 years. So the aim of our research then was to understand better the pathophysiology of long COVID. In other words, what's the dysfunctional physiology in that illness, and then link it and ask whether, in fact, it's very similar to what we find with ME/CFS. And that's exactly what the researchers found. We looked at immune cells because the first response to these viral illnesses is affect from the immune system, which doesn't resolve in the people that go on to get the illnesses. So we looked at the immune cells of both groups of patients, and we found there were two main defects. One was in the proteins involved in the immune system itself, and for long COVID, for example, we found 37 proteins were dysregulated, and the other main system was in the production line for energy production. And there we found 21 proteins along that production line were dysregulated in long COVID. And with ME-CFS, they were the same two systems, but we found more examples of dysregulated proteins. And we think the reason for that was because our New Zealand patients with long COVID had had their illness for 1 year, all of the cohort we looked at, whereas with the ME-CFS people, their average length of illness had been 16 years. So we think that those people with ME-CFS that have had their illness longer, there's been a kind of a consolidation of the dysregulation. And so there are more individual molecules that are dysregulated in those illness. But basically, the two conditions are very similarly, are very similar to each other. And that the good news of that is that anything we know from ME-CFS can, I think, be applied to long COVID, and anything we find out now about long COVID, you know, can be applied to help ME-CFS patients. And the aim of this, of course, is that it's a devastating illness, and as we've known from ME-CFS, for most patients it's lifelong. And so anything we find that can basically improve the quality of life for these patients is going to be hugely beneficial.
What is an example of treatment that can be used both for ME-CFS and long COVID?
Okay, so if we take the two aspects of physiology that were dysregulated in both conditions, one was in energy production and the other was the immune system itself. So currently we have quite a lot of compounds out there, nutraceuticals, some prescribed drugs, that are potential molecules that can affect what's called oxidative stress. And oxidative stress is an indication that the energy production system is not working very well. But none of these have been tested in clinical trials or systematically. So what happens with patients now, of course, when they're, you know, they're desperate, anything they hear about that might help them, they try. And so the applications of therapies is very chaotic. What our research has shown is what we need to be doing is looking at these individual compounds that can affect oxidative stress at different parts of the energy production pathway. If they should be looked at individually and in combinations in clinical trials with lots of patients to see whether they can actually provide definite benefits, maybe to all the patients from the groups or even subgroups of the patients. So it's more directed, more organised therapies that have the potential to have benefit. In terms of the immune system, we're in a revolutionary phase of immunology at the moment where immunotherapy is amazing for all sorts of diseases. So there is the potential to develop immune modulators to correct some of the immune defects that we're seeing in these conditions. And so that will take quite a lot of effort and money, but at least that's the direction that is being pointed to provide therapeutic benefits for this group of patients. And that would be a little bit more in the future than, say, those that we could try now with the energy production pathway.
Are there any actions you want the government or other entities to take to assist in this area?
Worldwide, people with ME-CFS have been called the missing millions, and that is because there's been no national programs to recognise and that this is a serious illness. The people are severely debilitated, and they need national programs of support from their social systems, financial systems, and whatever. New Zealand has certainly been no different from that. With all of the sort of exposure now to long COVID, of course, we have an opportunity to provide national programs so that all clinicians get best practice, evidence-based management for patients that they will see with their condition. So any patient in New Zealand with now ME/CFS or long COVID, the aim would be that wherever they are living in New Zealand, whichever clinician they see, that clinician will know what the best practice is. We don't have that. We haven't even had registers of people, you know, with ME/CFS, and there's an attempt now to get a register for long COVID. So that's one thing. The other thing, we've had no formal teaching in our medical schools of these illnesses. I give one lecture a year at Otago, which I've done since 2013, just to expose the students to ME/CFS. It's been last year long COVID as well. And so we need all of our graduating doctors to be confident with their knowledge and understanding of these illnesses. So when they have patients come to see them, they're not, you know, it's a very difficult, they're very difficult illnesses both for patient and clinical practitioners to deal with. So they need to be best prepared, and so they can show this understanding and knowledge and have management practice for their patients. So, you know, that's what I hope will happen immediately. So, for example, we had a clinic set up in Christchurch with a number of practitioners with different skills that were dealing with a few of the long COVID patients in the Christchurch area. By all accounts, it was extremely successful, but it was shut down after 6 months, as I understand, just because of lack of resources. So those are the sorts of clinics which need to be established. So, you know, ME/CFS and long COVID patients can have the same respect and dignity as patients with other major diseases in our community, like cancer and diabetes and Alzheimer's disease, for example. So that's my great hope.
That was Emeritus Professor of Biochemistry at the University of Otago, Warren Tate, speaking to me about the links between ME/CFS and long COVID.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.